Welcome to Ham Radio and More, the program that specializes in amateur radio in the Valley and around the world. Whether you're already a ham or have always wanted to be one, you'll find out about interesting events and issues regarding amateur radio. Your host is Lynn Winkler, KB7LPW. To get in touch with Lynn, call 241-1510 or 1-800-293-5366. That's 1-800-293-KFNN. Ham Radio and More is brought to you by AEA Incorporated, Wallpaper World, and Ken Nichols. Now, here's the host of Ham Radio and More, Lynn Winkler.
CQ, 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 Arizona, and welcome to Ham Radio and More, the only show of its kind in America. We have a super show today on Super Bowl Sunday, and I have a cold, and so bear with me. I'm your host, Len Winkler, KB7LPW, and along with John Moore, NJ7E, and we'll also have another visitor in a little while, Nick Seuss. And today's show is sponsored by Antennas West, Ken Nichols, Wallpaper World, and AEA Incorporated. Our phone number is 241-1510, 241-1510, or 1-800-293-KFNN in DXLAN, where we gladly pay for your call. Call us. Be part of today's show. Give me a chance to prove I can efficiently use these telephones, this new system, and also give my new engineer, Forrest, a little something to do. Give us a call if you have a question, want to make a comment, or have a club announcement, or if you want to buy or sell some radio gear. Don't be shy. Participate. John and I will be discussing some hot topics in the ham world that's bound to ignite, hopefully, a little flame or two. So if we hit your hot button, give us a call and add some fuel to the flame. But a few announcements first. I was at the Superstition Amateur Radio Club meeting last Tuesday, and Al Gross, W8PAL, was the guest program. Al spoke for about an hour or so. When he finished, he was mobbed by everyone, literally, to see his inventions, which he brought with him. There were about 110 people at the meeting. It was a super turnout, and they all enjoyed the program. In fact, Al will make another presentation at the March meeting for the club. Now, if you missed the meeting, you missed some great stuff, including a video on the proximity fuse bombs, the old VT fuses. But some good news. You can come to the Scottsdale Amateur Radio Club meeting a week from Wednesday, February 5th at 7:30 p.m. at the Scottsdale Senior Center, and Al Gross will be there. He'll put on a similar program with some added stuff thrown in, so don't miss it. You'll see the first handheld walkie-talkie ever made and much, much more. I also attended the ARA meeting Thursday night. In fact, on the 9th of February, we're going to have ARA President Dick Jackson, along with their technical man, John Braden, here, and we'll be discussing the ARA. A super turnout showed up for the ARA meeting, and it's great to see so many people really participate in club meetings here locally. If you're not a member of a ham club, join one. You'll make friends quickly, and you'll learn faster about all the different aspects of amateur radio, much faster than if you try to do it all on your own. I want to thank ARCA also for sending me the minutes of their last meeting. I appreciate them doing that, and I wish more clubs would do the same thing. Next week, I'll discuss some of ARCA's meeting, plus dwell a little on the upcoming war conference in Spain. I have a complete book of all the proposals to be discussed and all the people invited to attend. It should be interesting. If you want to take a class on becoming a ham, give Chris Townsend, NU7V, a call at 949-0086, 949-0086. Classes will begin in early February, two nights a week for 8 weeks. It's one of the best classes going, so give Chris a call. The ARCA Spring Ham Fest will take place March the 21st from 7 to 4 p.m. at Scottsdale Community College, which is 9000 East Chaparral, Pima Road, and Chaparral Road in Scottsdale, Arizona. It'll feature programs on DX, RIDI, Packet, AMSAT, antennas. There'll be an ARRL forum and much, much more. So make sure you go and mark your calendar for March 21st, Scottsdale Hamfest. More on that, I'm sure, in weeks to come. This coming Wednesday, if you don't already know, There will be a film shown on Channel 8, PBS. It's a film by Ken Burns, the maker of the recent series on the Civil War. And this is entitled Empire of the Air, or Empire of the Air, the men Who Made Radio. It'll be broadcast again on Channel 8 on January the 29th, Wednesday. It discusses at length the relations among Edward Armstrong, Lee DeForest, and Robert Sarnoff in the development of radio. And I was told that it explains very strongly how amateur radio operators played an important part in the start of radio. And on to the show today, I want to welcome John Moore, NJ7E, to Ham Radio and More. John has been on this show a number of times, and I've never really given you any background on him, because I figured that most or many people know about him, but I might as well read this prepared statement. Yes, let's see, what do we have? John was first licensed back when he was 13 years old. Do you qualify for the 50-year ham? No, you don't.
QCWA.
His call was WN7BAQ. He was a radio operator in the U.S. Navy, he's currently a member of the ARA Technical Committee. In fact, aren't you in charge of their Interference Committee or something?
Yeah, I'm the chairman of the Interference Committee.
Okay. And creator of the 146.64 Auto Patch Controller. Went to Mexico City after the earthquake and handled over 9,000 pieces of health and welfare and emergency traffic. Ham radio coordinator for Hands Across America in the state of Arizona. He's the state official observer coordinator, a very active transmitter hunter, the owner of True Value Software, which makes the TVS 701 repeater controllers used throughout Arizona. And he has a daughter, Elizabeth N7MAT, who was licensed at age 10. And he's a hardware and software engineer for Anasazi Incorporated, who did something with Walt Disney in France, right?
Among other things, yeah.
Among other things. First of all, we'll start out, and we really do invite people's participation, so if you're listening, please join in. And our number again is 241-1510 or 1-800-293-KFNN. I'm going to hit many topics. Some that are debated, I'd say, all over the world. First of all, John, what is your personal opinion of the ARRL?
Well, I think it's the only organization we have. And there's a lot of people out there who bash ARRL and complain about it, but they don't really offer an alternative. And where I think ARRL is most important is in fighting for our privileges as ham radio operators. And those are privileges, not rights. We have to fight for them. So I think ARRL is a good organization. It has shortcomings like any volunteer organization. And ham radio is so diverse a hobby that everybody's going to want ARRL to do something different. Nobody's going to agree with everything they do.
Well, of course, we know that there are many people who bash them. And, I mean, there's publications out who make a habit of bashing them. I mean, why don't they ever come up with something constructive to combat, to go along with their bashing?
Well, when we talk about publications, bashing ARRL can sell publications. And, what can I say? A lot of people like to whine and complain. Some people have been offended by something ARRL does, and they just take that to mean everything they do is wrong. I was offended by incentive licensing when I came out, but I can't say I've forgiven them, but at this point I don't care.
Uh-huh. Well, let's move on from the ARRL, and let's talk about what has been on the packet bulletins constantly, and that is business communications on amateur radio.
Oh, one of my favorites.
Well, I know that it's technically, supposedly illegal to call up on the auto patch and order a pizza. What do you think about that?
I think that's a dumb rule.
Okay. What would you like to see it amended to?
I'd like to see it amended to you can't use ham radio for compensation. And basically leave it at that. In other words, if you call up a pizza place, you're not being compensated for it. If the pizza place had a radio to take orders, that's another matter.
And if the pizza shop owner is a ham radio operator, so he is deriving income based on the auto patch?
No. No.
No?
No. Okay. He's not in control of an amateur radio station at that point. He's just a third-party traffic recipient.
All right. So you're in favor of doing some sorts of business communications over amateur radio?
Well, I'm in favor of loosening the restrictions so that the business restrictions that are prohibited are the ones for which the prohibition was put in the first place, which was to keep commercial interests from taking over amateur radio. I think the FCC has been overzealous in interpreting the rules and going after people for, auto patches to get a pizza, for helping out with logistics in a marathon, and, really crippling a lot of our volunteer abilities. And Ralph Haller of the FCC, of the Private Radio Bureau head, made a widely misinterpreted speech about that in Michigan, and I agree with him.
Well, in fact, today on Packet, I took this off of the Packet bulletin board. Let's see, it's from KF7VY in Washington, and I just...
Now he's famous.
Now he's famous, yes. And let's see, he says... ordering a pizza on 2 meters, several scenarios in regards to allowing business communications on the ham bands. In actuality, the ARRL, I'm told, has expressed an interest in clarifying or fixing the existing prohibition on all business communications, not in providing for general business communication on ham bands. The problem is that legitimate emergency disasters and public service communications are getting buried by existing rules.
Not to mention pizzas.
Well, that's right.
Yeah. Pizzas are important.
In the fall of 1987, 700 square miles of California went up in flames, destroying hundreds of homes and evacuating tens of thousands of people. Hundreds of hams provided assistance during the disaster. Yet afterwards, several hams thought that since putting out fires is the regular business of fire departments, wasn't all this ham communications illegal? And in another situation, hams provided communication to a 200-mile bike ride put on by a local bicycling club. Almost 2,500 cyclists participated. During the ride, 7 cyclists suffered major injuries requiring paramedic response. 1 needed a helicopter airlift, yet several hams thought it was illegal to help out at the bike event. At another bicycling event, a ham volunteer and an off-duty paramedic arrived at the scene of a seriously injured cyclist. His helmet was smashed and the situation was critical. The ham net control refused to allow a physician that was at the ride's headquarters to talk directly with the paramedic because he thought it was illegal. Instead, the NCS attempted to relay complicated medical terminology verbally. The problem is that if strictly applied, the existing rules really do prohibit a lot of traditional ham communications that we've been doing for 70 years, and which has not harmed anyone by doing so, and which was never the intent of these rules anyway. Further, ham radio folklore has passed around incorrect rule interpretations to the point that today a ham can't volunteer to help out at the local 10K run without being accused of violating the law. This is where the problem is, and this is what should such proposed rules are trying to address. Other than an FCC official, which you just mentioned that made a speech, who had certain comments attributed to him, probably out of context, there is no serious business communications being done or spread on the ham bands.
Well, I certainly agree with that person's position. Now, he really brings up another issue in there, which is the jailhouse lawyer aspect of ham radio. A benefit of ham radio is that we're self-policing, and that means that part of our culture as ham radio operators is that we try and do it right and play by the rules. On the other hand, a lot of people, and I've done this in the past and I try to avoid it, but almost all of us, for some reason, get in the position where we say, wait a minute, that's not legal. And we start looking at the narrowest interpretation of the rules, and we all play lawyer. And our auto patch control operators are required to do that. But everybody does it, and as you can see, it can have real dangers in the case of misinterpreting emergency communications. So, but, you know, it is a hobby, and people tend to be more cantankerous about their hobbies than they do about their professions.
We're not encouraging people to start using the amateur, and nor are you suggesting that they use the amateur bands for business communications in any way.
Oh, absolutely not. So, but I want to be able to order my pizza on the auto patch.
Aha. Well, we'll bring up auto patches in a little while. And welcome, Nick, to our microphone. Nick Seuss, W7ZMD, and resident tech.
Good afternoon, Len. And good afternoon, John. How you doing?
Hello, Len.
I don't know. You guys haven't met for a long time, or if you've ever met. Once.
You were over at my house once. Oh, okay.
Okay. Well, let's mention that you're listening to Ham Radio and More on KFNN, and we want your input, 241-1510, 241-1510, or 1-800-293-KFNN. The sale continues at Wallpaper World. Truly, this is the sale of sales. Never before has Levalure been discounted to 75% off the manufacturer's suggested selling prices. The usual 50, 60, or even 65% off just doesn't even hold a candle to this unbelievable 75% off all Levalure brand custom-made mini blinds. There's no doubt that if you want the best quality, you want Levalure. There's just no doubt about it. And that if you want the best color selection, you want Levalure. And there is absolutely no doubt that when you want Levalure, you got to go to Wallpaper World. It's the only place offering an honest 75% off the manufacturer's suggested selling prices. And when you buy four or more, Wallpaper World will install it absolutely free. So now is the time to get those windows covered with the number one name in blinds from, of course, the number one retailer in Arizona, Levalure. They come in four different size slat materials. You can get a half inch, 1 inch, 1 3/8, or 2 inch slats, and all at 75% off, 230 colors included. Also, see Wallpaper World for duet shades, wood blinds, and quality vertical blinds. And, of course, the largest selection of wallpaper in Arizona. And all at huge discounts every day. That's Wallpaper World. You can give them a call at 272-4788, 272-4788, for the location nearest you. Wallpaper World. They make selecting custom decorating products an enjoyable experience. So, Nick, what do you think about ordering a pizza over the auto patch?
I have no problem with ordering a pizza over the auto patch.
Say it again.
Am I on the air?
Yeah, now you are.
I have no problem with ordering a pizza over the auto patch. And I guess John pretty much said it when it's... when you don't get any immediate compensation of any sort for your amateur radio operation, I think there should be no question.
But we want to emphasize that right now it is illegal, or at least it is not to be done.
It's illegal.
Okay. Okay, so...
what can I say? The FC... as somebody said earlier, everybody's trying to play lawyer and interpret this thing right down to the period and comma of... And when you start trying to interpret laws, everybody's got their own opinion.
Realize that there will be a few topics that you have not been briefed on, Nick, that you will disagree on. So don't
That's
be
okay.
A, which
okay.
I which is the whole point. Which so don't worry if you disagree. I'm here to moderate, and I have an Uzi over here, so that there won't be any problem.
He's going to play referee, John.
Good luck.
I've got a question for you, Len.
Uh oh.
Does Wallpaper World sell pizza?
No.
Oh, rats. Okay.
Okay, now we're going to hit right on Nick. We'll see what he thinks. In fact, we'll start with Nick. A lot of people out there who are hams, and they have their handy talkie with them, you know, as they're going every day to work or wherever they're going. Most of them during the week tend to work. I mean, that's just tends to be the average humanoid. Saturdays and Sundays, they're time off in most cases. Now they pass their code and they run to their HF rig to make their QSOs that they want to do on HF and want to have a nice chat with somebody who knows where in Pitcairn Island or somewhere. And they turn on the radio and there's contests. And there's contests. And there's contests. What are your opinion of these contests?
Well, you certainly asked the right person, since I am relatively a rather avid contest participant myself. And I guess what it boils down to is really the ARRL, whenever they have a contest, suggests that there should be a spectrum, a portion of each band that people don't indulge in contest operation in. And unfortunately, the participants usually in the heat of the activity kind of get carried away and sort of forget the suggestion that the ARRL has.
What is the ARRL suggestion on the 10-meter novice portion of the band?
That's the one that Lynn could operate in.
What about that band?
Well, I don't think they've ever tried to address it as a sub-segment, as an individual entity. When you look at the whole 10 meters, see, novices are only allowed 200 kcs to operate voice on 10 meters.
Right.
And if you would aspire to get your general, you'd have like over one megacycle, over 1,000 kilohertz of operating range to operate on voice. Actually, it'd be very close to 1.5 megacycles, megahertz. And in that case, I've never heard any contest operation above 29 megs. I think you'd have plenty of area to operate in.
Well, to get back
it's interesting that 10 meters, whenever you tune 10 meters these days, you always tune between 28.3 and 28.5. And that will tell you if there's anything going on, because that's where the operation is. There are so many novices that are on the air and active that's where the operation really starts. But I've listened, on a typical afternoon, I'll hear stations up 28.8, 28.9, even up above 28.9 on sideband. And the novices are only allowed 200 kcs to operate voice on 10 meters. I don't think anybody's ever considered trying to sub-segment the novice portion of that band to say, if you want to play contest, don't use the lower 10 kcs or 50 kcs or whatever.
Well, I think the biggest complaints on contesting come on 20 meters, because 20 meters doesn't really have enough. It's only got 200 kilohertz also for a single sideband, and it seems to be the band that everybody wants to use because it's the most reliable long-distance communications band. And I've got to say that some of the contesting drives me nuts. Now, I think contesting has, there's some good things to be said for it. I've learned a lot from contesting. I got my CW speed way up one time on it, and I think it's a lot of fun. But some people really, really get carried away with it.
Well, yeah, and the ARRL, when it comes to 20 meters, specifically suggests that you just don't operate in the extra portion of the band.
By the way, I should comment here that in spite of my comments on contests, I think anybody who hasn't participated in one ought to try it sometime, because it is a very interesting thing, and if you're collecting states or countries or something, it's certainly the quickest way to get a whole bunch of them, and it's good practice for emergency communications also.
Absolutely true. My very first contest, which I accidentally fell into about the third or fourth year I was a ham,
was the DX contest. And when the DX contest, I didn't even know what countries I was working. I was just keeping a log and working whoever came along and working whoever I found. At the end of the contest, I totaled it up, and I had worked 98 countries. This was back in 59. If I'd known what I was doing, I'm sure I could have made DXCC in a weekend.
All right. I want to remind people you're listening to KFNN, 241-1510, 241-1510, and everybody out there, I cannot believe that nobody has a comment. From the company which brought you the first multi-mode data controller with digital fax capabilities, the latest engineering breakthrough in low-cost analog fax reception is now available. The PK-232 was the first multi-mode controller, you know, to handle digital weather fax images, and it still receives those images as well as ever. The high-performance filter is superior for HF reception of any FSK signals. The ability to receive analog fax images has never been added, however, to the PK-232 because of one simple reason. The PK-232 is a no-compromise data controller. So rather than compromise its performance, as other companies have done to theirs, AEA has introduced AEA Fax, a standalone multi-intensity grayscale demodulator and display software package, which can work with or without a PK-232 and won't affect the other modes at all. Get 16 gray levels on a VGA monitor, which means super detail on satellite maps and wire photos. The hardware you receive consists of a small RS-232 connector housing, which contains a circuitry for demodulation. So don't compromise. If you want to receive multi-intensity grayscale fax images, don't buy a TNC with an analog mode built in. AEA Fax is the right way to go. Grayscale Fax. And it's available at Ham Radio Outlet, 17th Avenue in Camelback, or call AEA toll-free for a free catalog of all AEA's products. Their phone number, you ask? 1-800-432-8873. That's 1-800-432-8873.
Do they sell pizza?
You know, I don't know if they sell pizza or not. I don't think so.
Okay.
But
we can call them on the phone.
No, I don't think you should call them on the phone using the auto patch.
That's true.
that won't work. Furthermore, I don't think we can get through an 800 number on the auto. Well, I don't know if we can. I don't think so. But anyway, we have someone online. Larry, welcome to Ham Radio and More.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I'm not a ham operator. I don't know anything about it, really.
Okay.
How do I get in touch with people who do ham radio stuff?
Okay.
If I can learn more about it.
All right. Well, that's a good question. We want more of you. What part of Valley do you live in?
Near South Mountain.
Well, you really have a couple of options. Of course, our first thing is to tell you to maybe go to a club meeting or to pick up some information as to how to get a license. What do you think? You should go to a club meeting first or go to the neighborhood electronics store and get a license on amateur radio? Are you familiar? I mean, are you on any radio communications now?
No, I don't want to get any licensing.
Oh, okay.
Maybe that's a little negative, but maybe I can just learn a little bit from people who are actually doing the stuff.
Well, you're certainly welcome to come to the Scottsdale Amateur Radio Club meetings. You're welcome to go to TriArc, which is in the Tempe, Chandler, Mesa area. They have club meetings. And nobody is requiring you to have an amateur radio license to go there, just a desire to learn more about amateur radio. And go ahead, John.
Yeah, you could go to Hamfest, too. That'd be a way to find out
good
many
answer.
People.
How do I find out where this is?
Okay, well, the Ham Fest is going to take place March the 21st, so you've got a couple of months there, and that's going to be at the Scottsdale Community College, which is at Pima Road and Chaparral. Again, that's Saturday, March 21st. There is a Scottsdale Amateur Radio Club meeting on the 5th, the first Wednesday of the month, at the Scottsdale Senior Center. There's also TriArc, like I say, and they're having a meeting the 13th of February is their next meeting. I can give you more information if you're interested.
About, I would just telephone number to get in contact with any of these people.
Okay, to get involved with TriArc, you can call Dave at 963-3527. And if you want to know more about the Scottsdale Club, you're welcome to call or leave your phone number with my engineer here, Forrest, and I'll be happy to get back in touch with you. Whichever one you want.
Scottsdale's kind of far out for me. But.
Okay, well, then give this guy a call. Dave, it's a fairly new club. It's very active, and they look for, they're looking for people who do not have licenses or brand new hams. They're do a lot of activities like that. And you'll find out that amateur radio has so much to offer. It's amazing.
I've known people in the past who did. I just don't know anybody now, and I never had time for it.
Well, you'll find...
Sounds very interesting to me, and I want to get into it.
Okay, well, you'll find that it's easier now than ever to really participate. The prices of radios have come down. You can buy some used equipment at the Ham Fest very inexpensively, and I think you'll enjoy it. And we welcome you, and good luck to you.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Steve, welcome to Ham Radio and More.
Yeah, thank you for your program. I'm finding it interesting.
Thanks for listening.
My connection is I have Sangene, S-A-N-G-E-A-N 803A, and that's just a nice $200 radio that's all digital with presets. And I am getting a little bit interested in at least listening to ham radio. Now, on the bottom of the radio, it's got all the different meter bands, and then on the after the 11-meter band seems to be what you were talking about before, and I guess that would be numbers above 26100.
Yeah, it'll be from 28 to 29.7. Now, you know that most of the ham radio communications are in single sideband, and I'm not familiar with that particular radio. I think that can pick up sideband, can't it?
Yeah,
it works very nicely on sideband.
It's got a BFO switch, and then it has a BFO rheostat, like the thing that turns all the way left and right, and that's probably what you're talking about.
Yeah, so you might find I'll give you a couple of active frequencies here. The 28.3 to 28.5 is probably the most active on 10 meters. Also, 14.15 to 14.35 is that's probably the most popular amateur band, and it's 10 meters is going to be dying here as the sunspot cycle fades, and the 20 meter band I just mentioned will stay up all along.
I don't have a point on this particular receiver, so if I just punched in 14, 15, I would that would be what you're referring to.
That'd work fine. I think it's 14150, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
For that.
14.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So that's a high number. Yeah.
Yeah.
14150, and I suppose that could be very interesting. Just listening in, I imagine it's possible to learn quite a bit about it.
Well, it's also very interesting talking. How about getting a license? Ha ha ha.
Yeah, that sounds. That sounds like it would be the next step.
Yeah.
Now to do this sideband, I then move the BFO left or right and see what I can find.
Yeah. You just want to tune around the frequencies, and when you hear somebody sounding like Donald Duck, then you want to fiddle with the BFO until they sound right.
Well, thank you very much for that. I enjoy your program.
What part of the valley do you live in?
I'm in East Mesa.
Okay, there's a Superstition amateur radio club that is in East Mesa, you wanted to get involved. If you want to leave your number or if someone from the Superstition Amateur Radio Club wants to call, I don't have any phone numbers with me, which I guess I should bring with me all the time, but I'd be happy to if you want to leave your name and number, I can give it to my engineer.
Okay, that would not necessarily be just for hams. It would be for
people. Oh, no. There's no requirement for you to be an amateur radio operator, just a desire and an interest in radio.
He might also be interested in the DX Club since he's a shortwave listener.
There's also a shortwave listeners club in town.
Right. There's a lot of clubs. I found out when I started amassing the list of board of directors and stuff. if you know, next week I will go through, if you want to listen next week, we will go through a listing of different clubs again in different parts of the valley with phone numbers. And if you want to listen that week with a pen, you can have all the information.
Well, I'd like to leave my name and phone number, and if somebody could tell me about this radio club in East Mesa, I'd certainly want
to. If you'd like to, just leave. You want to say your phone number over the air, I guarantee you somebody will contact you from Mesa.
Yeah, I'll do that. 985-9736.
985-9736, and your name is Steve.
Yeah, I'd like to hear from somebody that could tell me about the club.
That's what amateur radio is all about. So somebody from Larry Cook, if you're listening, give him a call, or Jim Edwards or somebody out there, give him a call, and here's a recruit. So you can teach him about amateur radio. Steve, I hope we helped you on your radio, and thank you for listening and participating.
Just define DXing, and I'll listen to you. I'll hang up, and just define DXing for us beginners.
Sure. Okay. Nick, go ahead.
DXing is... Actually, it's different things to different people. Primarily, it's working someone a long ways away. And the only reason I say it's different things to different people is DX for somebody on 2 meters is working a station in perhaps a different state. From Phoenix, if I'm on 2 meters, it's quite an accomplishment, and actually it is DX to be able to work somebody in California, New Mexico. But on 20 meters, if I'm talking about DX, I want to be working someone probably on a different continent.
And, you know, you're using a word that is something that you would use in everyday terminology 1,000 times a day and expect everybody to understand.
Absolutely.
Working. What does that mean?
Just having a QSO.
Just having a what? And everybody, they're saying a QSO.
I would say that working means different things to different people, too. To some DX hounds, working just means
getting a signal report.
Just enough information to get a QSL card for that all-important certificate.
A
QSL card is a postcard that verifies the reception or the contact. To other people, working means talking to somebody and chatting with them. So all kinds of things.
But you notice.
Let's have a QSO. let's have a DX.
Okay, we'll do that in one moment. I got to get a little more business done, and then we'll do that. And that's kind of a good thing. And then we have another caller online. I wonder if his phone line is busy right now. 228-2336. 228-2336. That's the number to call when you want to save money on a new vehicle. And I'm not kidding you. You call 228-2336 for Ken Nichols, the fleet manager of Linda Brock Auto Mall in Scottsdale. Ken may have his office at Linda Brock in Scottsdale, but Ken sells cars, trucks, and vans all over the United States. In fact, all over the world. And I'm serious. This past week, Ken received the money from his client in Germany for a van that they'll pick up when they visit America in a month or so. It's really true. People from Phoenix and all over the world are finding out that Ken Nichols' money savings program does have a tremendous deal. He's really selling cars cheap. There are no negotiations necessary, no hassles, no pressure, no hard sell tactics. Ken is known for his great caring personal service and, of course, his lowest price first policy. Plus, with Ken Nichols, you can buy the vehicle of your choice. That's any make, any models, any options. All you do is call Ken. Now that's 228-2336, 228-2336, and tell Ken what vehicle you want with what you want on it. He'll quickly configure the car to your specifications and give you the rock bottom price first, a price that causes people to buy from him all over the world, even Germany. So see if the line's busy right now. 228-2336, 228-2336. That's Ken Nichols, the new right way to purchase a vehicle. 228-2336. Fleet prices direct to you. Even to you, Nick.
Does he do two-wheel cars?
You mean motorcycles?
Yeah.
I'll bet you that he can get one. I mean, I'm speaking out maybe out of school, but I would bet that he can get that.
But more importantly,
does he sell pizza?
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. Okay. Moving right along.
Welcome, Dave, NU7I to Ham Radio and More.
This is Daryl.
Oh, Daryl. What did I say?
Daryl from the transmitter hunt.
Oh, how you doing, Daryl?
I think I've seen you before.
Yes, I was there.
Yeah. Anyway, well, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. I want to make some comments here. It's about ordering a pizza on AutoPatch.
Go ahead.
I don't know if that's a great idea because isn't that really is a business communication? I mean.
Well, I mean. You know, the purpose of the business communication rule was not etched in stone and handed down from on high. There was a reason for it, and the reason was to prevent the amateur frequencies from being taken over by businesses. Now, if I use an auto patch to order a pizza, I don't see how I'm causing any problem in that regard.
Well, that's true, but, I mean, well, first, there's some other rules that come into play here. One of them is that you're not supposed to use an auto patch if you have a phone capable.
If I'm in my car, I don't have a phone. Except the auto patch.
Would you order a pizza in your car, though?
Of course.
On the way home so that you can be there.
That's true.
If you had a cellular phone in your car, you'd order a pizza. And you'd probably order it with the cell phone, too.
Sure. That's true. But
now, I think just before everybody gets confused, I should point out that while I advocate the ability to order or the legalization of ordering pizza, decriminalization of ordering pizza, whatever, from an auto patch, it is not currently allowed. So let's not anybody get confused and go off and start ordering pizzas on the auto patch.
Okay.
But
yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
No, you're, go ahead.
Okay. Well, then I understand. I just thought that people were just going to, and I do agree, though, with the public service thing, because I remember when I was on a public service event.
Yes.
They wouldn't give me the official time.
Right. That's one of the problems, is the sponsors of the public service event say, why should we use these hams to help us out when they can't answer questions for us because they say it's not an emergency and therefore it's not life-saving or you know, general welfare, so we can't do it. And I think that's another reason that we need to change the rules.
Well,
I agree with you.
I'm new here, and when I was in Tucson, we used to do it.
Well, we used to do it here, too.
Oh, really? It's only new?
Well, I think this ruling was handed down 2 or 3 years ago, and we still help out with a lot of things. For example, the ARA does the Best Damn Bike Ride, which is the MS bike ride to Parker from Phoenix.
Actually,
like
there's
that.
Quite a few public service events that we participate in. Next week is going to be a compilation of a lot of stuff, so I hope everybody tunes in next week if you want to hear all kinds of information we're going to put out. Encyclopedia, but there are events coming up one after the other, and they need help, and we're going to push for them to get some help. So we're definitely still doing public service work here in Phoenix.
Well, no. What I mean is, we used to deal with some of the logistics that had to do with health and safety in Tucson.
Well, dealing with the health and safety logistics are okay. For example, on a bike ride, I think dealing with making sure that there's water available at the checkpoints is clearly a legal thing.
What we were doing, what we had a problem with that I noticed when I worked the Tempe Marathon, and I'm new to the area, so I don't know. I've only lived here a total of a month now. And what I noticed is I couldn't get the official time. We were using the official time I was in the sag wagon, which was behind the last official rider, and we were using that. They were going ahead and opening the roads after our vehicle, you know, reopening the roads.
Right.
And so that's why I thought it'd be a health and safety thing, but I must say, though, some of the things they do up here are a lot different.
Different parts of the country have, I guess, different actions that they do. But we need to move on, Daryl, and I appreciate, though, your calling sincerely.
And I'd like to also say that I'm trying to get back on HF, and I'm a contester also. And I wanted the number for that disabled DXers.
Okay. Bill, if you're listening, I don't have the phone number with me again, but Bill, if you're listening, call us and we'll put your phone number on, Bill. And otherwise, next week, I'll definitely have that number for you, Daryl.
Great. Thanks.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye. Okay, this is KFNN AM 1510, and our phone number is 241-1510 or 1-800-293-KFNN. Have you called 1-800-926-7373 recently? That's Jim Stevens' phone number from Antennas West. Jim has a new catalog with many new products and some radio information in it. Jim has worked long and hard on this catalog and now has it ready to send out. Just give Jim a call at 1-800-926-7373. That's 1-800-926-7373. And ask for a new free catalog. You'll need to mention Ham Radio and More so you can get it free. That's 1-800-926-7373. Antennas West is famous for their half-square antenna, the TNT Windham antenna, the ever-popular Tiger's Tail, and many other products. Jim is a whiz when it comes to antennas and is always there to answer all your antenna questions. So give Jim Stevens a call, KK7C. Ask him a question, order a new catalog, buy a Tiger's Tail all at the same time.
Or order a pizza.
You know, I know he likes pizza. That's 1-800-926-7373. Be sure to mention Ham Radio and More. And Daryl, the phone number for the DDXers is 375-9810. That's 375-9810. And ask for Bill. So I hope that was fast enough for you, Daryl. And again, thank you for participating. Okay, we're going to enact real fast a little QSO just so that some of the people are aware of what goes on. That's what Nick's suggestion was, and I thought that would be kind of interesting. I mean, just, you know, don't take more than a minute on this, because that's all the average one makes anyway. So, Nick, you can do it. Do I need to make the static noise?
Sure, W7ZMD, W7ZMD, NJ70, NJ70-59 Arizona. And W7ZMD-59 Arizona.
Thank you, QRZ.
That's it, folks. That's it. That's a contest. That's except a I'm no good at it.
Okay.
You can see a lot of meaningful information changed hands during that.
That's a legal QSO, but it's not what you'd call an enjoyable QSO.
Yes.
No, in fact, didn't you have a comment about your dad being, John, your dad being in the South Pole?
Well, this is a thing with DXing. One time a few years ago, my father was, he's a scientist, and he was down at the South Pole. And I wanted to talk to him on 20, and due to antenna restrictions, I don't have a big tower.
Yes.
And I couldn't get through to him because everybody wanted to get a QSL card from the South Pole, and they kept calling him and obscuring my my call. And that's I think, one of the negatives of DXing is that people do that. We have a caller there?
No, we don't have a caller.
Oh.
We have 10 minutes left in the program, and I thought I'd hit on something, which I hear all the time, me being called the appliance user. And what is your feeling? We'll start with you, John. We'll give Nick the benefit of doubt. What is your feeling about the appliance user of today versus the builder of the 20s, 30s, teens, or earlier, or whatever?
Well, when I got started in ham radio, I built my own transmitter using a
6L6 oscillator.
So I think everybody should build their own transmitter using a 6L6. You've probably heard this refrain before. I think there's nothing wrong with appliance users. I don't think anybody should have to build their own radio. putting together a packet station from prepackaged components is just as hard and just as technical as building a 6L6 oscillator. So I have nothing wrong with appliance users as long as they know how to use the appliance.
That's a major problem today, though. The appliances are awfully difficult to use.
The appliances are very sophisticated. And I did something a little more exotic than a 6L6. I had a 6AG7 driving a pair of 807s. That was what I built.
Well, I changed that also after I got a QSL card from the FCC informing me that my second harmonic was 5 and 7 at their monitoring station.
I still hear things like that even on the air today. The appliance operator is a real live thing. And unfortunately, there are an awful lot of people who are in that category.
There's nothing wrong with appliance operators.
You just haven't had the opportunity to be exposed to what tuning a radio is really all about.
I had a 101. I tuned it.
Do you remember which knob? It's plate and
no, it was
load.
A pain. It was a lot easier to turn on my ICOM 735.
Am I a better person than Lynn because I know how to load up a pie section?
What kind of pie?
Oh, there you go.
Pizza
pie, of course.
Pizza natural. I gave him another opening.
Doug, welcome to Ham Radio and More. Hello? Are you on the air?
Hello?
Hello. Are you on the welcome to Ham Radio and More, Doug. That wasn't me.
Hey, I'm up here in Sedona.
Oh, you're hearing us up there?
Yeah, I got an ICOM R71A with a 300-foot random wire.
Oh, wow.
And it's full of noise. And I was wondering if you know anybody in the Phoenix area that sells ferrite bars. I'm trying to build some kind of an antenna that might be able to get through some of this noise, especially at night.
The place to get them would be Amadon Associates. Yeah. They're in California.
You look in QST.
Yeah.
Amadon Associates, QST.
Yeah. They sell, I've bought some very large ferrite loop sticks from, type bars from them.
They'll be in the list of advertisers, Amidon.
Amidon. Okay, great.
Can I ask?
I didn't even know your show existed. I accidentally found it when I punched the wrong button on my ICOM
weekend. Well, keep pushing the wrong button. It's on every Sunday at 1 o'clock. May I ask for something since you're on the air?
Yeah.
Could you send a QSL card to me and say that you hear us in Sedona? I'd be appreciative. My address is KFNN Radio, 4800 North Central. Phoenix 85012. I'd really appreciate it because we like to know that Sedona's. You know, we've got some from Prescott Valley, and one or two from Tucson, North Tucson area. But you'd be the first from Sedona. I really appreciate it.
This is Real DX for the broadcast band at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
At 1 o'clock, and especially when you consider we're putting out 10,000 watts in our transmitter, our antenna is in the Mesa area.
Yeah, it's probably beamed somewhere else other than you're probably Omé.
Well, yeah, who knows? The propagation is right. It must be the D layer is not infringing upon the E layer.
It's the ground wave.
Oh, the ground wave, all right.
Well, I got you a lot better last Sunday. Right now I got my passband tuning tweaked over to the right, and I'm detuned to 1511.1 and noise blanker on and all kinds of things.
Well, sincerely, if you'd send me that QSL card, I'll get you one back out. I'll get you one that has no big deal, but my call and KFNN radio sent back to you.
All righty.
I appreciate it. Thanks. I'm glad that we helped you out.
Okay. Have a good one and wrap it up.
Okay. Thank you, Doug.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
You're going to send him a free pizza, too?
No.
Okay.
No. I'd like to ask both of you, and I'll start with Nick because I know your answer, John. And this is really for the new listener or the new person, or the person who, not the new listener, but the non-ham, the new person out there. And that is, ham radio means a lot to a lot of different people. You got your license when you were how old?
14. I was old compared to John.
No, John, yeah, John was 13.
Yeah.
Yeah. How has amateur radio and the fact that you got a license when you were that young, 14, influenced your life?
Oh, my gosh. That's a dramatic question to ask me because it's my business.
Well, we've got 3.5 minutes. And John has to speak, too.
Actually, as I look at what ham radio has done for me over the years, as any teenager, I was relatively shy. And I think getting on the radio with the anonymity of people not looking at you and saying, oh, you're just a kid, was really dramatic to actually have people listen to what I had to say without treating me like, oh, you're just a kid. Of course, I guess I was fortunate that my voice changed very early, too. Then over the years, just being exposed to the different technical aspects of the hobby, as well as some of the operating events, has, I think, improved me a lot just in the area of self-confidence and that kind of thing. And, of course, in the recent years, amateur radio equipment repair is my business.
Get in a plug.
What's the phone number, Nick?
992-4133. Thank you, Lynn.
If you need anything fixed. John, no, seriously, though. I mean, no kidding. How has it influenced you?
Other than turning me into a nerd.
Well, is that you talking, or is that your daughter talking?
That would have happened anyway. No, it got me into technology at a young age, into electronics. When I joined the Navy, and I was a two-year reservist, and when two-year reservists go on active duty, they tend to end up working in the galley or cleaning the barracks or other unfun things. Because of my ham radio knowledge, I became an instant radio operator, airborne radio operator, which not only saved me the grief, but was a lot of fun, too. I've made friends and connections through it all over the place. The job that I have, it came through a connection of a fellow I met in a college amateur radio club. So it's had a lot of influence.
Well, I'm trying to encourage people out there, if you're thinking of becoming a ham, do it. It's not difficult. It's easier now than ever to become a ham radio operator with the no-code license that we didn't even touch on. I have 16 different things we were going to talk about today, and we've only touched on about 5 or 6, which is really what this show is all about, involvement of everybody. And although we got a lot of calls from people who are not hams today, that's what it's all about. Get them to get involved. The more, the merrier. And, you know, when they go from a lot of people from 11 meters to the 10-meter band, they learn a lot, and they come up to amateur radio, and they improve, hopefully, right? I want to thank John Moore for being my guest, and Nick Seuss, W7ZMD, NJ7E, John Moore. Thanks to Wallpaper World, Ken Nichols, Antennas West, and AEA Incorporated for sponsoring the show. Tune in next week for lots of news, QSTs, and an actual preview of the World Administrative Radio Conference in Spain. This is Len Winkler, KB7 LPW. We're clear till next week. 73's Arizona.